You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning. I'm Sheila, Bert's wife, and together with Bert and Rich and Chantel, we're privileged to lead the church here, Every Nation Greater Toronto Area. A few things before we get started. We are on a series for the month of August, The Art of Rest, and I'm excited to be able to Bert led off last week. I'm excited to be able to do number two. If this is your first time with us, again, we welcome you. You would have, when you walked in the door, hopefully received this little package full of interesting pieces of paper. If not, put up your hand and one of our connection crew will get one for you. In this, there's a blue card. And on the blue card, if you give us a little bit of information about who you are, we'll give you, you can take it to our connection table out in the lobby, and we have a welcome, a package, a present for you with some good things in it. So again, when you get a second, if you can fill that out. If you didn't get one, you can also just pick one up at the table. Well, we're talking this month about The Art of Rest. And I don't know how many people have purchased the book so far. This was written by one of our Every Nation pastors, Adam Mabry from Boston. And it's really worth reading because the subtitle, Faith to Hit Pause in a World That Never Stops. And I don't know about you, but I need to remember to pause and to take time and to stop. The last couple of summers, I've tried to read every summer some kind of book on rest or Sabbath or listen to some podcasts because, yeah, sometimes it's easy. Bert and I are pretty good at taking a day off. But what does it look like to rest? Not to, you know, sometimes you can be resting on the outside, but on the inside, you're still thinking about what's going on at work or what your kids are up to or, you know, your studies, your exam that's coming. So what does it look like to pause and rest? And I think we're so desperately, each one of us, in need of this in the crazy city and culture and world that we live in that presses us to work and work and work and study and your identity. It's all wrapped up in what you do. So if you haven't purchased the book, they're also out on the table. I was going to open up today with something from the book of Judges because they were in the book of Judges early on in the history of Israel, they kept forgetting who God was, and it did not go well for them. And the book of Judges is all this cycle of time when the nation forgot about God. But then Luke, my son, and I went to see Christopher Robin on Friday. So instead of starting out in the book of Judges, I'm actually going to start out with Christopher Robin. Because Christopher Robin, okay, my kids were raised on God and Jesus and Winnie the Pooh. So if you don't know Winnie the Pooh, well, you'll get some of it today, but I cried in this movie. I did. Christopher Robin has this case of important things, this case of really important things, and really his life, the identity of his life, is in this briefcase. And this is the story of a grown man who has lost sight of what's important in life, and his very identity ends up in a briefcase. So I saw Christopher Robin and I thought, what's in my case of important things? What are the things in my life where sometimes my identity comes from that maybe aren't how God created or wanted me to live my life? So I think each of us have a case. And I think today, maybe you can keep that in the back of your mind as we explore part two of The Art of Rest. We're going to start by reading a kind of a long portion of the book of Ezekiel. Now, if you know anything about Ezekiel, he was a prophet, and he didn't necessarily have very nice things to say about the nation of Israel because they had really turned from God. And a lot of the book of Ezekiel was correction, God pouring out his heart to this nation. Would you change and align your lives and hearts again with me and my law? So we're going to read a part on Ezekiel about the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath was the day set aside by God for mankind to rest, for his nation to rest. And it was so important to him. He said, 6 days you can work, but on the seventh day rest, set it aside for me. It was so important to him that in the Ten Commandments, after not having any gods before God, not creating any idols or things we worship in our life, the next thing God said to his people is, remember the Sabbath day, remember that day to rest and to remember me. So keep that in mind as we read from Ezekiel. So God speaking through the prophet, "Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, but rejected my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to make a full end of them. But I acted for the sake of my name." This is God speaking, remembering who he is. He said, "I acted for the sake of who I am, my very name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I brought them out, in whose sight God brought them, delivered them from Egypt, from the bondage and the slavery that they were in. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land that I gave them, a land flowing with milk and honey." This was what God had for them, rest and milk and honey and a land of blessing and prosperity. But because they turned away from God, he said, "I'm not going to take you into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of lands, because they rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths." Are you getting the point here? God thinks that Sabbath rest, that rest that he has for us, is really an important part of how we're to live our lives. "For their heart went after idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them. I did not destroy them or make a full end of them in the wilderness. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers. Do not keep their rules, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes. Be careful to obey my rules and keep my Sabbaths. Holy, that they may be a sign between me and you, and that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to obey my rules, by which if a person does them, he will live. They profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them and spend my anger against them in the wilderness." Not good news, right? Well, God gave Israel the Sabbath, a day each week to rest, to remember, to recuperate, to reflect on God, to worship, to be restored. It's no different for us. The ritual of Sabbath rest is given to us to remember God, to remember who we are. As a child of God, and to remember to realign our thinking with what the true story of the world and God's creation and our place in it is. So today we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at the fact that we need to rest. I need to rest to remember who I am. You need to rest to remember who you are. We need to rest to remember our need, and we need to rest to remember grace. Or, to quote Winnie the Pooh, doing nothing often leads to the very best something. You know, God has something for each one of us. And often when we get in touch with that something, it's when we turn away from the things, the busyness, the craziness, the things that our very identity is wrapped up in, and we go back to the nothing of our own doing. And the rest in God, doing nothing, often leads to the very best something. Well, rest to remember who you are. Ezekiel, I'm going to read this portion in the message, just one little bit of this, because I think it's really important to hear it in different words. God said, "I gave laws to them for living, showed them how to live well and obediently. I gave them my holy week. My weekly holy rest days, my Sabbaths, a kind of signpost erected between me and them that I, God, to show them that I, God, am in the business of making them holy." You know, that Sabbath, that day of rest, is a day for us to remember who God is and who we are and what our right place is before him, a place to be restored, a place to remember. You know, we live, there's so many things that just the pressure on us to our identity, who we are. In a city like Toronto, so much of it is around career. You know, how much especially the 21st century with your laptop and, you know, the internet, and you can work 24/7 if you want to. You may leave work, but you go home, work has never left you. Students, what goes on inside of us, parents, well, moms, your work probably never ends, but there are still ways to rest. Our very identity in a city like this can just be wrapped up. What's the first question you ask someone when you meet them? You're not looking for who they are, a human being. You're looking for what they do. Well, I'm identified by what I do. I'm a doctor. I'm a teacher. I'm a lawyer. I'm a student. I'm a parent. There's so much pressure to live up to all of the voices around us that say, this is who you are, this is what you have to be somebody, to have some kind of something on the inside of me. This is where my identity needs to be found. My dad was born in 1924. End of 1924, he was a child during the Great Depression. My dad only had an eighth grade education, grade eight, I'm in Canada again, and a grade eight education. But my dad knew how to work. He started working as a hired hand on a farm when he was just probably, I think, about 13 years old. My dad knew how to work. And one of the great things he taught my siblings and I was how to work. My dad said being on time is being 15 minutes early. I mean, he just taught work was the most important thing. And if my dad thought you weren't working, he was not kind. He would call us lazy. And so he put some really good things in me as far as a work ethic. But he also, still to this day, there's a voice in me that when I sit down and take a time away to rest, sometimes that voice haunts me of my dad saying, oh, you should be doing this or you should be doing that, or perhaps you're lazy. Or, you know, so many of us have voices related to our identity, things that maybe were spoken to us as kids that about who you are and who you're supposed to be. Sometimes in the Western culture, it's definitely related to career and school and education and how successful you are and how much, even as a parent, is my identity wrapped up in the fact that my children have done well in school and are business and are professionals, and I start to think that that's part of my identity. And yet God wants us to take this day of rest to remember that our identity is in Him, that first and foremost and primarily, I'm a child of God, created in His image. And even as He said to His own Son, Jesus, on His baptism, He said, here you are, my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus had not started His ministry. God was pleased with Him just for the fact of who He was. And somehow deep inside of each of us, our identity needs to be rooted in the fact, if I never did another thing, if I lost a job, if I failed out of university, if my kids weren't perfect, and I don't know anyone with perfect kids, so if you're a parent, be prepared, that my identity is not wrapped up in those things. Sometimes it's the identity of your birthplace. Sometimes it's the oldest child. You have the responsibility to make sure maybe a sibling's education is paid for, or your parents are looked after, and your identity becomes wrapped up in that role of who you are as a child. God and His Sabbath rest, a place of rest, wants us to get back to that place to remember that the primary, yes, work's important and family's important, but the primary place where our soul needs to be is that we're a child of God, created in the image of God, loved by God no matter what we do and before we ever did a thing. Rest to remember. Setting aside a day reminds us our value is not in what we do, but who we are, made for God, by God, to be with God. So rest is to remember who you are. Rest is to remember our need. Again, to the Message Bible, a little portion of Ezekiel. Rest to remember our need. Here's what God said. He said, but I did not lift my hand in a solemn oath there in the desert. But I did lift my hand in a solemn oath there in the desert and promised them that I would not bring them into the country flowing with milk and honey that I had chosen for them, that jewel among all lands. You know, this little thing about our need, I think God has a place that He wants to bring us to. But even as the children of Israel, he reminds us that it's not by my hard work and my effort. It's not by my perfection. God's the one who has a promise for us. And he's the one who can lift his hand, can move to bring us to the place he wants us to be. That he's chosen things for us, that he has a purpose for us, that he has a place for us, and that our need is to rest in him and allow him to bring us into those things that he has for us. When Bert and I, the early years, we've been married 33 years, and the early years, typically on our anniversary, we go out for dinner, nice dinner. It doesn't always, well, anyway. And the first number of years when we got married, we made it our practice. Every time we would go out for our anniversary dinner, we would do two things. We would reflect on what God had done for us in the previous year, and we would dream about the future. And then life got comfortable. And I think some things happen when life gets comfortable. And one is, it wasn't quite as easy to reflect on what had gone on in the previous year because, you know, when life gets comfortable, sometimes you can start to think that maybe you don't think it up here, but somewhere down in here, that it got comfortable because of something you did. And you forget maybe that whether in want, in need, or in plenty, we still have that same need for God, that he's our provider, that he's the one who brings us into that land of milk and honey. We still try to make a habit of remembering where we've come from and being grateful and trusting God for what he's going to do in the future. But I realized in our life, it's easy when life gets comfortable to slip away from things. And two things I think I've learned at this point in my life, that there's two kind of extremes where we can kind of forget our need for God. And the one is when life is comfortable, when things seem to be going your way, when the paychecks are coming in, when you've bought that new home, when your kids are doing well. Something seeps into us that maybe goes, it's because I'm a good this. I'm a good worker. I'm a good parent. I'm a good daughter or son. And we can easily drift away from the fact that our need is for God in every circumstance to come through on our behalf. You know, the other time when I think we can forget our need for God, well, is when things aren't going well. We might think we need God, but we also think it's completely upon us to work hard and change my life and fight against anything that seems to be coming against me that might be a trial, might be a test, a temptation. So either in great comfort or prosperity, when we have a great abundance or when we have a great need, when we have a great need, we think, I've got to accomplish this myself. We can forget our dependence on God. Jesus wants us in that time of Sabbath rest, that weekly ritual of rest. And you're going to say, well, what does this look like? Well, we're going to get to that because we have three more weeks to explore this idea of rest. But we need to have that regular rhythm in our life where we come to that place of rest, whether in a need or in abundance, we remember who God is in our lives. You know, Paul warned, the Apostle Paul wrote a whole lot of letters in the New Testament. In the book of Romans, he wrote this to the Romans, a warning, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of a mortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. You know, when we start to slip away, we maybe acknowledge, I have faith in God, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. But when we're living our life in a way that we're really dependent on ourselves, we've forgotten our deep need for God, this is the slippery slope when we don't honor God and give thanks in all things, the slippery slope of futility, of darkened hearts, of foolishness, and of exchanging. You think, oh, we don't, what do we exchange? We don't bow down and worship idols. We can make idols. We can make images. We can make those things that we devote our lives to, things like family and work and career and school. So it's a sobering thought that we need to remember in good and in difficult times our need for God. The next is to remember. Our third point is to remember, is to the rest, is to remember grace. Once again, when we were reading from the book of Ezekiel, and God was saying, I was the one, it was my plan to bring them into a really good place, a place flowing with milk and honey. And yet they turned, they didn't obey my laws, and they neglected my Sabbath. And I couldn't take them into that place that I had for them. You know, that place that God has for us, it's a place of His grace. It's what He extends to us. Oh yeah, we respond, and we respond to His grace by honoring Him, by obeying God, by taking that time of rest to refresh and to reconnect with God. But He's the one, it's His grace extended to us that's going to bring us into the place that He has for us. The place that really deep down in our hearts we long to be. I was thinking as I was reflecting on this, on my need for the grace of God in my life, I had to stop and think about how much of my life had nothing to do with any of my choices. I did not choose which century to be born in. I did not choose which country to be born in. I did not choose which family to be born in. I did not choose which year. And I realized that God, in His purpose, before the foundations of the world, the Bible says, created, had an idea for me and a time and a place in history that He was going to place me. And I had nothing to do with that. I have some ancestors. In fact, my ancestors landed in this country in the early 1800s. Not my choice. I was not around to influence that decision. Just north of here in Vaughan, there's a cemetery, and they're my kinfolk. They are my ancestors. Bert and I have visited there, and in 1806, these German settlers from Pennsylvania, Jacob and Michael Keffer, Jacob Keffer was like my sixth great grandfather, arrived in Vaughan Township and planted a church. You know, I had nothing to do with that, but yet it's all part of how I ended up here and where I am today. Each of you have a story like that and where you ended up today, and maybe your education, maybe you're a University of Toronto student, but who opened the doors for you? Who gave you your very intellect? Who provided for you financially? Lots of us here weren't born in this country. How did doors open for you to end up here? What's your story? Was it the grace of God in your life because He had you on a path to get you to a place He wanted to be? Maybe you thought you were doing one thing and maybe your motives were wrong. You know, sometimes we do that in life. Maybe we even give God credit, but in our own heart, it's because it's what we wanted to do, where we wanted to be, the country we wanted to live in. And yet God ultimately is the one who opens and closes doors. What's your story of stepping back and seeing the grace of God in your life and where He's brought you to and reflecting on that? You know, a day of rest is a day to remember who I am, to remember who God is, to remember His grace in my life. Romans 5, Paul, continuing on later in the book of Romans, he writes this encouraging words: for while we were still weak, at the right time, God, Christ died for the ungodly. One like us, a human being, might scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one might dare even die, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's the ultimate price that God paid for us. The continual reminder, Jesus' life and His death and His resurrection, is the continual reminder of God's love and grace in our life. Because if he was willing to even give His very own Son for you and for me, how much more in all the things in life? Is God going to be there and be our provider and his grace abundantly give to us, not based on my identity, not based on my status or position or ethnicity, not based on the country of origin, but based on who he is and his hand in my life? So, what are we going to do with this? Do you want to remember who you are? Do you want to remember your need for grace? Do you want to remember your need for God and who he is? God says we remember these things by honoring him with that time of rest, by setting aside time where we set aside the busyness of work, and we put that cell phone from, you know, away, and we take time to, yeah, maybe it's worship, and maybe it's spending time with those who believe in Jesus with us, and maybe it's time with family, and maybe it's in creation, hiking and enjoying what God's made for us. But do we set aside that time regularly to come into that place of rest with him? My final Winnie the Pooh quote of the day. Here's what Winnie the Pooh, the wisdom of Winnie the Pooh. I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. And when we look at our own lives, and I know for me, my struggle to rest, my struggle maybe not to just take a day off, but to rest on the inside, the first step is to walk in a different direction. And maybe it's to say this week, you know, this week I have something planned for every single day, but this week I'm going to take a step of faith, because it is a step of faith, because most of us have enough work that we could work 8 or 9 days a week if we could do that. And what God asks us to do is to go somewhere different and to say, I'm going to work on 6 days like God said. And on that seventh day, whatever day that might be for you, but on that seventh day, on that one day, could you this week take a week? Go somewhere maybe you haven't been before. I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. If this has never been a part of your life, then walk away from the way you've been and walk into that place of rest and set aside that time and honor God with his Sabbath, with his rest. We're going to explore as the month goes on just some practical things, what that looks like. What do we do on a day of rest? That's always a question. We're going to continue as we go forward with the art of rest. Let's pray together. Father, we know the times we need to remember who you are. Daily, Lord, we need to remember who you are. We need to remember that our need is in you, is found in you, is met in you. Our need for grace, that it's your hand upon us. And I pray you'd help us to take that time every week. Take that time to stop, to pull away. Show us what it might look like in each of our lives to rest and reflect and to honor you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.